the worker's zeal. Okay, we're going to talk about the worker's zeal today. But let's stand and just read Psalm 63, verse 1 to 11. I read verse 1, you read verse 2, until we finish the verse 11. All right, just... Psalm 63, verse 1. Psalm 63, verse 1, the Bible says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Verse 2. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Verse 4. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. Verse 6. Verse 7. Because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. Verse 8. Psalm 63. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. Verse 10. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let's have a word of prayer. Okay, let's pray. Father, as we just open up this psalm, Lord, we know that only you can teach us from your word. We pray your Holy Spirit will speak to us what it means to follow hard after God. What it means to follow hard after our God. And I pray today, Lord, that you encourage every Christian that in the midst of the wilderness that sometimes they feel they are in, that, Lord, you are encouraging us to follow hard after you. For you are our God, you are our Savior, and you will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. Many years ago, we were in a teens camp. I still remember I was young, strong, fast, okay, that time. And I still remember, I think that time, some of you who are already in Sunday school teacher would be about 15, 16 years old. So I was in charge of one of the teens group. And it was a teens camp, and so youth camp. And so there are about four groups, and each group had about 10 to 12 people. Okay? And last time it was at the old blue building, okay, in Sembawang here, just nearby. And this treasure hunt actually took us many parts of Sembawang. And we don't have EZ-Link card, okay? We just ran. Okay? Why you laugh? Okay? One Christian worker will be together with the group and kind of just to make sure that they are safe. Okay, so we ran. And not supposed to tell them we put the clues and all that, but we were supposed to follow them. I was with one particular group whereby this group doesn't want to stop. Okay, they just wanted to keep going. And when you reach a particular place, I thank God because they would have to stop so that they can find the clue, so I can rest, okay, while they find the clue. But you know what? What they did was every time they go to a place, they would really look thoroughly, and once they get it, say, let's go. They came on like, you know the kind of camp, you keep going, come on, let's go, quick, don't like that, quickly. And you keep on, every checkpoint, he keep running one after another. And of course, in the end, this particular group actually won. Okay, they actually won first place in that treasure hunt. I cannot remember whether they won first in the whole camp, but they won first in that treasure hunt. All right? And I was accused of helping them with the clues. I said, no, we didn't help them. But they were really following hard. They were actually running hard to win. Okay? Now, when you think about this, and keep running from point to point, look at verse 8 of Psalm 63, which is our key text today. The Bible says, David says, my soul followeth hard after thee. My soul followeth hard after thee. The psalmist David says, I am running hard after God. And as you think this, I'll give you an introduction. In Psalm 63, it's oftentimes known in the Jewish world as the morning psalm. It is a psalm that when the Jewish people get up, they will sing this psalm, okay? And it is the first hymn they have to sing every time they get together on the Sabbath. Psalm 63. It's called the morning psalm. This is according to the early fathers, okay? So the background, if you look at verse 1, is interesting. Because the Bible says, I don't know about whether is it in your Bible, this is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. When he was in the wilderness of Judah. Okay? Now, David was in the wilderness, and we apply that to our life. We want to ask the question, where are we now in our Christian life? Okay, I'll just generally give you that thought. What did David do when he was in the wilderness? And this is an interesting thought, because it's an important thought. What do you do in your Christian life when you feel that things are dry? What do you do in your Christian life when you think that you're in the wilderness, okay? A place that they don't seem to be anything that will satisfy you. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. This introduction helps us I want us to frame this thinking in our mind. When things are in the wilderness, what was David's response? What was David's response? His response was, he was running after God in his wilderness, okay? I was just reading something on this, and I think this is an interesting thought, and this is an important thinking in every Christian when you face the trial or the wilderness, okay? According to one Jewish commentator, he says this, when David was in the wilderness, he is able to continue to seek after God. It shows us that David's own spirit and the Holy Spirit that controls him has the mastery over him. That simply means that when times are tough, David doesn't submit his spirit to his own thinking. In order for someone, I think all of us will agree with this, in order for us to seek God in the wilderness when it's dry, we really need God to work in our hearts. Amen? We really need God to work in our hearts. In Psalm 63, it's that kind of psalm. When things are dry, I can't seem to find any refreshment, it seems that David has an extraordinary energy. And today we want to look at what we call the zeal of the Christian worker. When things are tough, what do you do? When things seem dry, what do you do? When you seem to, Lord, do I really have to go through this, you know? What do you do, or what do we do as Christians? What kind of zeal do we have? The Bible says in verse 8, my soul followeth hard after you. Psalmist David says, when I'm in the wilderness of Judah, verse 8, my soul will follow hard after God. There are two things in this thought where David was able to follow hard after God. Okay, just very quickly. David not only was able to keep his flesh under submission. Every time when we face, what happens to you when you face trials? What's a normal response when you face an obstacle? What's a normal response? You feel? What kind of feelings come up when you face an obstacle? You feel discouraged, okay? You kind of lose energy, right? You feel discouraged. Not David, okay? He was able to control that discouragement, but not only that, and this is important, David was not only able to control his flesh, his heart, and like that, he was able to control that. He actually took his flesh and drag it under the control of the Holy Spirit. And that's something that as Christians we absolutely need to learn in Singapore. Because we are tired. Once you are tired, and know what's the next step? We get discouraged very fast because you have no more energy to face your trials. But David was able to subject the flesh to the Holy Spirit and to drag the flesh under the control of the Holy Spirit to the point that he's turning his trial into an opportunity to seek after God. And that's something as Christians we need to learn. And I think all of us go through this. I've seen many churches as well. Christians falter because of trials. You know, the Bible is full of encouragement. Okay, today we want to look at some of them. All right? What are some characteristics of someone who has the flesh under control and is able to let the Holy Spirit control our flesh so that we can seek after God? All right? 7 quick points taken from this passage. What are some characteristics of the zeal of a Christian? The word zeal there means a passionate ardor or passionate spirit in the pursuit of anything. Zeal means a passionate fervency in the spirit in pursuit of anything. A passionate spirit in the pursuit of anything. In this situation, David says, "In my wilderness, I am passionately following after God." Irregardless of what the situation is, my soul followeth hard after God. What are 7 very quick characteristics of this Christian? Number one, look at verse 1. The zealous Christian in his trials will acknowledge that he has a personal relationship with God. Look at verse number 1. O God, thou art my God. Thou art my God. You know, thou art my God has the idea. David didn't speak of a God. David didn't speak of the God, but David speak of my God. Now, Christian, I want us to change. When we actually talk, sometimes, you know, children at the age of 2-3 years old, sometimes when they talk, you know what they will say? They say, "Oh, this is Esther Joy One." Or let's say I'm 3 years old, right? I'll say, "This is Johnny One." The reason why they say that is because they cannot still take the perspective. Okay, it's only when they come to 3.5, 4 years old and they say, "It's my one." Then they begin to understand the possession. And it's interesting because in the Christian life, it seems that younger Christians may not have the idea of their personal relationship with God until perhaps something happens in their life and they found out that God is real to them. My God. Every Christian, when you are growing up, must have an opportunity to realize that the Heavenly Father is your Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father is my Heavenly Father. It is so important for us as Christians. You know, sometimes we pray, "Lord, God, dear God, dear God." You know, when children pray, "Dear God," there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, it would help to change the pronouns a bit and just ask, "My Heavenly Father, thank you that you are my Father, that you care for me." This is what David acknowledged. You know, one of the things in human relationships is, let's say if your child, your son or your daughter, have you had this experience before? Not that I have, but some people, although you are there with a loved one, we don't actually acknowledge the relationship. You know what I mean? You're there, but you're not there. Have you seen a husband and a wife? You know they're husband and wife, but you don't act like husband and wife. You're there, but you're not there. Okay? You know, here, Psalmist David is encouraging us to realize that, look, a Christian with zeal for God acknowledge that there is a personal relationship and that we can call God my Father. When was the last time you said, "Lord, you are my Heavenly Father"? You know, for me, who lost my dad very young, I still remember there was one time in the college, and it was Father's Day, so this friend of mine says that they were very sad for me because I didn't have a father, but they're also happy that we have a Heavenly Father. You know, that was precious, that I have a Heavenly Father that cares for me, and so do you. So do you. And the question we need to ask is, do you know God the Father as your personal Father that knows everything inside of you, everything you go through, every single thing? Do you know the Holy Spirit as your indwelling comforter? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal friend? Remember, He says, I no longer call you my servants, but I call you my friends. Do you know Jesus like that? Do you know Christ like that? Or do you find that you always have to, oh, I need to seek God means I need to go to a place. Or can you, on a daily basis, just pray? Just pray. And you know that God will hear you. The question is, do we have a personal relationship with God? God speaks to us. How do we have a personal relationship with God? God speaks to us through His Word. Yes? Did you hear God today? Through His Word? Did you hear God today through His Word? And it's important. Because it's on a daily basis, Christian, if you're in your Bible reading, you don't hear God impressing your heart with His Word. Then maybe that day, God is silent. Or you need to be able to hear what God is saying through His Word. You know, it's very hard for me to explain. You need a personal relationship with God. And did you pray? Because a relationship is maintained by communication. A relationship is maintained by communication. Okay, Christians, do you have a relationship with God? I'll just read this. Genuine friends rub off on one another. Agree? If you are true friends with one another, your character will rub off on one another. Okay? Has God rubbed off on you today? We cannot rub off on God because God is perfect. But has God rubbed off on us? Okay, number one, zealous Christians acknowledge a personal relationship with God. O Lord, Thou art my God. Verse 2, a zealous Christian, a Christian with zeal after God, will confess a deep longing for fellowship with the Lord. For fellowship with the Lord. In Psalm 63, verse 1 again, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory. Psalmist David says, look, God, You are my God. I long to seek You. You are my first thought when I get up. You are my first thought. What is your first thought when you get up? Did you get up and say, yeah, today got exam? Or is it, oh, I need to hand in my deadline today. Oh, I need to meet that client or whatever. Is this our first thought? Or the first thought is that, God, I need You. Was D.L. Moody who said, I am so busy throughout the whole day, I must spend the first 3 hours praying. And it's interesting, when you spend time with God, somehow the day seems a bit brighter. Things seem a bit lighter. The psalmist David, a zealous Christian, longs after the Lord. He says, early will I seek Thee, my soul thirsteth for Thee. How thirsty are you for God? If God didn't speak to us today, you say, no, I'm not going to sleep until I hear something from God. When I hear, not it's not sitting down and, not that kind of hearing. It's that when you read God's Word, I'll give you an example. I'm reading the book of Jeremiah, and the book of Jeremiah. And there's one particular verse that struck me. And that verse was with me all the day because it talks about pastors being deceitful. And that for the pastors are become brutish. Brutish means like animals. And have not sought the Lord. No, when they say, God, are You talking about me? Am I become an animal? An animal, what does it do? It just chases after whatever he wants to chase for. You know, that was just a devotional thought for myself. But that thought was something that I keep, Lord, help me not to be an animal. Lord, help me always to seek after You. And you know, on a daily basis, do you hear what God is trying to say? Do you have that deep longing for Him? And then He goes on to say in verse 2, The reason why, so verse 1, the reason why David seek God is, in verse 2, to see your power and your glory. To actually be able to understand what it means for God to manifest His power. Okay? The zealous Christians have a deep longing for fellowship with the Lord. There was one time that there was this person who wanted to just go swimming with the Father. Okay? And one of the reasons this person, this young child wants to go swimming with the Father is not because he loves swimming. It's just because he wants to be with the Father. You know, that's a very precious thought, that when your children want to do something with you, not because of the task, but because he just wants to be with you. You know, that's a precious thought, because it is the relationship that is so important to that individual. You know, that's the same thing with God. You know how much God yearns for us to be with Him? You know how much God yearns for... Who was the first one to come seeking after Adam and Eve when they sinned? It was God. Where are you? Where are you? Maybe God is asking us, where are we today? A Christian who has zeal for God and following after God in the wilderness wants a deep fellowship or a deep longing for fellowship with the Lord. Okay, that's point number two. Point number three, the zealous Christian is filled with praise and prayer to the Lord. In your wilderness, times when there's trials, but your heart is able to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, focus on the right thing. Look at verse 3, 4, and 5. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. What does that verse mean? Your loving kindness is better than life. What the psalmist David says, look, God, the good things you do for me, motivated by your love, is much better for me to even live. I would rather have your kindness done to me with the motivation of your love than to live. And he says, thy loving kindness is better than life. He was praising God. My lips shall praise thee, verse 4. Thus will I bless thee where I live. I will lift up my hands. The word lift up my hands has the idea of prayer, has the idea of praise to him. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Okay, if you look at verse 3 and 4, the psalmist David is filled with praise and prayer to the Lord. In Philippians 4, verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In the midst of your wilderness, a Christian with zeal after God, they will be filled with prayer and praise. Okay, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, okay, which is under this point. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. Let's read together. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Ready? 1, 2, go. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Okay. Is it possible to give thanks in everything? Is it possible to give thanks in everything? Yes, it is. Why do you think God wants us to give thanks in everything? Anyone? Why do you think God wants us to give thanks in everything? Take a situation, for example. Let's say you're in a trial. Okay? Why does God want you to give thanks when you're going through that trial? Sorry? Because He's in control. Yeah, God's in control of everything. But you know, we all know that. But our eyes are still on the situation. So why do you think God wants us to give thanks? Sorry? Yes, it's the will of God, but why do you think? Let's go into the mind of God a while. Okay? Why do you think God wants us to give thanks? Because when we give thanks, we are taking our eyes off the situation and placing on to God. God wants us to give thanks. It is His will. Many times, I've learned this about God, and I hope you learned this too. Many times, God gave us a commandment. When He said it's His will, it's because there's a reason that is good for us. Okay? So when we're in the trial, like Brother Robert said, God is in control, right? If we're in the trial, God says, my will for you in the trial is to you look at me and give thanks for that trial. Because if you don't give thanks in the trial, you forget that I'm in control. Does that make sense? And it is an important thing for Christians to have a thankful heart. There is nothing in our lives that is a mistake. Agree? Nothing. Because God is in control. He's in sovereign control. There's nothing that can happen in your life as His child that He will allow Satan to interfere without His permission. And that's an important truth for every Christian. When you go through the wilderness, why am I like that? But when you take, I don't know why, but Lord, thank you that you're in control. You already know what's happening. And that's as important. A person with zeal after God say, God, I thank you. I thank you. I praise you, Lord, because your loving kindness is better than life. And that's something as Christians, we need to learn to be genuinely thankful. How do we truly thank God? When we get our eyes off ourselves, our needs and our wants, and then reflect on what God has done for us. We need a habit of daily thanksgiving. When you get up in the morning, thank God that you are alive. As you go through, thank God that you are able to do the things. You know, you keep having that spirit of thanks, it will help you through your day, knowing that God is walking with you. Alright, that's point number three. Just stop me along the way if there is any questions. Point number four. Look at verse 5. The zealous Christian finds full satisfaction in the Lord Himself. It's very hard to find satisfaction in the wilderness. It's very hard to find nourishment or water in the desert. But a Christian who is falling hard after God will find his satisfaction in God Himself. Look at verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Okay? Marrow and fatness. It has to do with God filling David with all that he need. Now, what was it that satisfied this David? Was it possessions? Was it pleasures? Was it earthly joys? No. He was basically satisfied with the Lord Himself. He was just satisfied with God Himself. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Question for us. What does it mean to find satisfaction in God Himself? We need to understand this truth because many Christians, one of the reasons why Christians fall away is because they find that the things of this world are more satisfying than the things of God. So what does it mean when the psalmist says in this verse, the zealous Christians will find full satisfaction in Christ Himself. Okay? How many of you know who is Linus in Peanuts? Cartoon. You know a cartoon? Well, who are the characters in Peanuts? Yeah. Your favorite, come. Well, who are the characters? Come. Edward's favorite. Snoopy, yes, some more? Woodstock, some more? Charlie Brown, some more? Lucy, some more? Linus, some more? Huh? Sorry? That's okay. But you see, suddenly he's awake already. Okay, Linus is one of them, right? Okay. What is Linus? There's something that Linus always holds on to. What's that? His blanket. What is it oftentimes called? Linus? Sorry, S. It's called a? Security blanket. Okay, Linus has a security blanket. Alright. There was one particular 4-year-old that I saw in the clinic many years ago. This 4-year-old will never leave the bolster. He has this bolster. And the bolster is stink. Smelly. We call it, correct, he call it his cho-cho. Smelly. But you know, for the particular 4-year-old, the cho-cho, which smelly-smelly in Chinese, smelly-smelly, is a security thing. Alright? You don't give the 4-year-old this, he will shout and scream. But the moment he has that cho-cho, this security blanket, he's okay. Alright? He can be hungry, you don't feed him, that's okay, as long as he has his cho-cho. Alright? And that's fine for him already. Linus also, once he gets his security blanket, it helps him to be more composed, right? It helps him to be more secure. Once he has his security blanket, question for you, what is your security blanket today? What is your chouchou today? What is your security blanket? Is it possessions? Is it reputation? Is it a certificate? Is it getting ahead in life? What is your security blanket today? What is your security blanket today? Think about that. That's a very important question. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your security blanket today? Where's your security blanket today? How many of you know who is Gypsy Smith? Gypsy Smith was a very famous Baptist evangelist, okay, in the early 1900s. There was one time Gypsy Smith was preaching, and after his preaching, he was walking through Scotland, the streets of Scotland one time, and then he felt a tug in his sleeve, okay, someone pulling his. After a while, he was realizing, hey, what's happening? And then at the end of the tug, he found a little girl, okay, this little girl that actually came to him. Alright? And then he looked at the girl and said, no, what is it, my dear? Little girl held out a piece of sweet wrapped up in dirty paper, okay, to give to Gypsy Smith. He said, what is this for? He said, sir, I thank you because we have a new daddy at home. So Gypsy said, what do you mean by new daddy? My daddy was never sober. In other words, he oftentimes come home drunk. But after he sat in your meeting last Saturday, we have a new daddy. And I want to give you this to thank you for giving us a new daddy. Do you understand that? It was through the preaching of Gypsy Smith that Jesus Christ saved the dead. How important are sweets to children? With a smile coming out already. How important are sweets to children? Well, you know what the point I want to make here is? The little girl was so grateful for a new daddy that she was willing to give up sweets, which is so precious to a child. What is your security blanket? What is it that satisfies you that when you have that, you don't need anything else? Do you know what that answer should be? I'll give you the model answer. The Bible says it should be the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because when Jesus Christ is in you, you have everything. Okay? When Jesus Christ is in you, I think it's okay. If Jesus Christ is in you, you have everything. Christians, what is your security blanket? What is it that satisfies you the most? I'm not saying the things of this life we cannot enjoy. We enjoyed the fish spa today, for those who went. Okay, it was gross, but it was fun. Alright, hey, there's nothing wrong with just sitting down and just talking with brethren. And but you know, what is it that really satisfies your heart? I can tell you in the final analysis, you realize this. Without Jesus Christ, you will never be happy in this life. Without Christ, He is the one who gave you your salvation. He is the one who gave you your life. He is the one who gave you real joy. He is the one who in your wilderness is still, when everyone else has walked out, He is still be standing there with a smile on His face and say, look, my love is so perfect, nothing will push me away from you. Do you realize you cannot push God away if you belong to Him? He is so close to your Father. He said, you can reject me, I will never reject you. Why? Because He's our Father. And when you realize, Christians, we need to realize this, if God's love is so perfect that whatever we do, we'll never chase Him away. Why? Because He loves us. You know what that should do? Draw us closer to Him. Wouldn't that be true? If you realize someone loves you so much that no matter what you did to him, he still loves you, still care for you, still provide for you, still give you the best. The natural, proper response should be, Lord, if that's who you are, then I will never want to leave you. Christians, we need to find full satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. Point number 5. Verse 6. The zealous Christian learns how to meditate on the Word of God. In verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. The word meditate has to do with considering, thinking through the Word of God. I'll just read through 2 verses. In Psalm 104, maybe this side, can you turn to 104? Think people on my left. Psalm 104, verse 34, and on my right, Psalm 119 and verse 9. Sorry, verse 97. Okay, on my left-hand side, Psalm 104, verse 34, and then Psalm 119 and verse 97 on my right. Okay, ready? Psalm 104, verse 34 on my left. Ready? 1, 2, go. Okay, we'll just focus on this verse first. My meditation of God shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Is this an experience as a Christian we have? That when we think on God, when we think on God, there's a smile that comes out on our face. The word meditation means when I consider what God has done for me. When I have reflected on His goodness for me yesterday. When I realized God was the one who took me through my hard times. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. The word sweet has to do with something pleasant. Yes? And the Bible says, and I will be glad in the Lord. How glad are you in Christ? You know, Christians, we need to meditate on God's Word more. We really do. Okay, we'll go to the next verse. Psalm 119, verse 97. Ready? 1, 2, go. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Can it be true? Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The whole day. God's law is constantly a meditation point for the Christian. Psalmist David was king, I believe, at this time. He had many things to do, but he says, Lord, your law is the most important thing that I think on. You know, one of the things for Singaporeans when they're involved in work, they're very focused. They need to do this, right? And so they find that they cannot, I need to focus on my work so I cannot shift my thinking. What we need to do is, once the work is done, still give thanks for the work and then shift our thinking back to the Lord. You know, sometimes people say we cannot shift gears in our mind. You know what you have done? This is one thing I like to drop as pastor. When you cannot give thanks even as you focus on your work, you have compartmentalized God out of your work. It has become separate from your work. God is still God over your work. Right? Last time I used to think God first, family second, and then church and work. Wouldn't that be true? But you know, when we've done that, what we've done is compartmentalize God. God is actually God over our Christian life, God over our church, God over our work, God over our family. And He is God in all. And He is to be first in all. Does that make sense? And we have to understand, because Singaporeans, it is easier to compartmentalize because it helps us to have a bit more structure. But you know what? In our relationship with God, we cannot compartmentalize God out. Oh, I've done this already, checked. I do the next one. That's not God. We have missed the relationship with God. Does it make sense? And many Christians, teenagers, and whoever, don't compartmentalize God, whereby I say, God, I'm doing this now, okay? So I'll talk to you later. In time management principles, you may be able to do that, but not in your relationship with a Heavenly Father who loves you when you're doing your housework, who loves you when you're taking care of your children, who loves you when you're working, who loves you when you're sick, who loves you when you're having fun in the fish bar, who loves you every time, everywhere in your exams, God loves you. God is still first in your exams. God is still first in your money-earning job. God is still first when you're sick. God is still first. Okay? And it's important for us not to compartmentalize Him to the point that we don't think of God in your work. A practical example could be when you're in your work, you could actually say, Lord, I really don't know how to talk to this client. Please give me wisdom. Lord, you know when I draw this line, I always go crooked one. Please give me wisdom. Oh, Lord, you know, I'm going to speak to my head or boss. And you know, Lord, he's not in a good mood today, but I really need to. Lord, I really need your help. Every time, just bring him in. Lord, you know, I'm so busy and people are so unreasonable. God, give me patience as I deal with. Don't compartmentalize God. Include him. You know what? He enjoys that. Because he wants to be part and parcel of your life. Okay? And that's where when you begin to learn to always include God, you will meditate on what God, what would you say? What would you do? A Christian who is on the, with a zeal for God, would want God, and would think on God all the time. In fact, what's a prosperity principle in the Bible? Can we recite it together? You know what I'm talking about? The prosperity principle? What's a prosperity principle? Joshua 1 verse 8. Ready? 1, 2, go. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This was given as a military strategy to Joshua. Joshua, the way you are going to conquer Canaan is to meditate on my word. The way that you're going to conquer your family for Christ is to meditate on God's word. The way that you're going to conquer your job for the glory of God is to say, God, give me wisdom. The way students you're going to do well in your studies is to think on God's word. So, Brother Johnny, that's not possible. I have one friend, his name is Peter. I think I shared this before, but maybe just for the benefit of the A-level students. Okay, we're taking our A-levels. 2 weeks before the A-levels, Peter, who is someone from Hong Kong, said, Brother Johnny, at the time we were in a Christian club. And he said, I'm very scared of my A-levels because if he didn't do well, he has to go back to Hong Kong. And he didn't want to. So I don't know why I said that. I just said, why don't you spend more time in the Bible? When the A-level results came out, he did better than me. I said, God, that's not fair. Why did you say that? But you know what? The Bible says, Psalm 19 verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers because thy testimonies were my meditation. Do you realize? That is so true. Psalmist David, I have more understanding than all my teachers because thy testimonies were my meditation. Christians learn to meditate. One way you can do is maybe for those housewives, you can, after you read, you just write one verse. Even you may not understand the verse, just write it out somewhere in the whiteboard. So every time you walk past, you just read that verse again and again. You'll be surprised what God can do. Okay, for those who are going to work, after you read, maybe you can write down, or I think you may have, you can put it on your smartphone or whatever. Every time, I had a friend who had this word, P-R-A-Y, here on his watch, on her watch. So what's the time now? It's always time to P-R-A-Y. It's always time to pray. Every time. So you know, there's a cute way. But you know what? God may be speaking to us. You know, when you go to work, man, when you have to go overseas, put a verse in your smartphone or whatever that always pops up, or something that is a constant reminder to refocus on Christ in every situation. Meditate on God's word. Children, when you read the Bible, make sure you ask questions from your parents. And parents, after your children have read your the Bible, what you can do is just ask them, what did you learn? Tell me one thing you learned. If they cannot tell you, go and read your Bible again. That is actually to cultivate the habit of at least trying to understand God's word. Okay, I just dropped that in for you. Point number 6. The zealous Christian is confident and joyful about the future. Verse number 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. The idea of being a shadow of the wings. Okay, Jojo, you want to come up? She's quite small. Esther Joy, you want to come up? Esther Joy. I cannot use Jeremiah already because I remember this when Jeremiah was... Jeremiah was about this height. Okay? So when I was walking along the old church one time, the sun was coming down on my side. And my shadow was cast over Jeremiah. Now Esther joined her. Does that make sense? So my shadow is cast over her. I'm protecting her from the sun, the trials of life. In Psalm 91, verse 1, what does the Bible say? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That means when we learn to live in God, we are protected. And you know what? She is willing to walk with me anywhere. Why? Because she knows she's being shielded from the sun. Okay? The Bible says here, in verse number 7, he says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Lord, I have seen how you have helped me. I know I can trust you. I know that your shadow when cast over me is just a shadow of protection, a shadow of promises, a shadow of provision, a shadow of leading, a shadow of victory. But you know what? You need to abide under that shadow. You don't try to go out of God's will. You don't try to do your own thing. You always say, Lord, what is your will? As God moves, you better quickly move under the shadow. Okay, God moves backwards, you better be moving under the shadow so that you're constantly under the protection of God. A Christian's zealously following after God is confident and joyful about the future. When we trust the Lord, the future is always bright. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? When you trust the Lord, your future is always bright. Let's turn to the book of Nahum, verse 1 to 7, chapter 1, verse 7. Nahum, alright? Minor prophet, Nahum, N-A-H-A-U-M, seldom used, but this is a wonderful verse for your future. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. Let's read together. Ready? Nahum 1 verse 7. Ready? 1, 2, go. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust Him. The Lord is good. Yahweh is good. He's a stronghold. We'll be talking about strongholds on Sunday. A stronghold is a fortress. Fortified, heavily fortified. And we can stay in that fortress in the day of trouble. And that's why we can be confident. We can be confident. I remember a time when my children need to go to the toilet at night for me. And they will come to my room and ask, Papa, I want to go to the toilet. You know, although I don't switch on the light, when they come to the room, of course they run to the room. They say, Papa, I'm going to the toilet. And then I will just bring them out without switching on the light because my wife is sleeping and disturb people. But you know what? They're okay to walk with me in the dark. Why are they so confident? Because of who's holding them. Christians, although we can't see God, you believe God is with you. You trust Him. You have that relationship with Him that says, God, things can be dark. I still trust you. Am I being idealistic here? Or is it reality of faith? Trusting God to be with you in the storms. That when you walk in the dark, to go to a place of need, the toilet, that you know that God is walking with you. And you may not be able to see Him, but bless God, He's always there. Right? There was one person who always tell me, during the rain, the sun is still shining. Amen? During the rain, the sun is still shining. He said, you don't see, like today. Although it was raining, but we had a good time because the sun was still shining. The sun was still there. Christians, let me tell you, things in life is just momentary. It's just a passing storm. The sun is still shining. A Christian, a zealous Christian who follow after God, you know, you won't be looking at the trial, you'll be looking at God. And therefore, you are confident of the future. I just read what Job says. Job in 19 verse 25, 26, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job says, look, I can be destroyed in this flesh, that's fine, I will see God. That's trust. One final point. The zealous Christian, this is important for us. The zealous Christian, the Christian who follows hard after God, will prove the present strength of God upholding him. Look at verse number 8. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. No one can genuinely follow the Lord in his own strength or energy. All of us need God's help. You will not be able to follow hard after God. You will fall. Some of us are struggling in the Christian life. You know why? Because perhaps we are trying to follow after God in our own strength. Sometimes when we don't understand, you know what we need to say? God, I don't understand, but I thank God you do. So I'm just going to trust you. And Lord, I just need you to take control of my life. And I'm just thinking, how do we show this, that it was God who was sustaining us all along? Okay? Let me just read these ideas here. I'm able to pursue my studies because someone was taking care of my basic needs so that I can focus on my studies. Students, yes? Did you have to worry about your food and your... You know, some children unfortunately have to do that. They have to worry about their own food. But some of you have parents who will work hard so that they can provide you that foundation, basis, so that you can focus. So it wasn't really you only, it was someone else who was supporting you. Some of you who are Christians, you are still living for God as much as you can right now. You know why? It's not because of you, it's because of God. The fact that we are still pressing on in our Christian life, why is it that someone else backslided and not us? Why is it that someone else walked away from God, it's not us? Was God being unjust? No. But God saw that in your heart, you wanted to follow hard after God, but you are weak. But God says, I'm going to support you. Just like a little child who's trying to walk and cannot. What does a mother do? Come on, come, let me help you, right? A children who tries to walk, we will always try to give a bit of support so that they can practice that walking. I'm still a Christian because of Him. It is all of grace. And in 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And Christians, you will be what you are simply by God's grace. And I'm thankful for many of you whom probably in my heart and mind I know that you're going through a lot of struggles, a lot of things in your life. But you know what? You need to follow after God in the wilderness. Similarly for myself, my family, I'm sure every one of us, looking at your faces here, we'll have a wilderness that only your heart knows. But the Christian life don't have to be a wilderness. When God is present, it's all light. Amen? When God is present, it's peace. Yes, the storms can rage. You may even be wet with the rain, just like the disciples were. But when with Christ in the vessel, they were still safe. They still feel frightened by the storm. But when Jesus was in the boat with them, they were safe. No one could touch them because Jesus was with them. You know what? Our relationship should be, God, you are number one. Not my peace that I want, but your peace. Not my joy, but the joy that you give to me. Not my happiness, Lord, but your happiness that you have placed in me. You know, it's just something that as Christians we need to understand. We need to follow hard after God. I don't know what's going on in your heart, but I hope this is an encouragement for you. A Christian worker who loves God needs to have that zeal that says, Lord, nothing else satisfies me but you. A Christian seek on a daily basis to develop that relationship with God. And as much as you love God with all your heart, communicate with Him by prayer. Allow Him to speak as you read the Word. If you don't understand, ask. Ask people. And one way that there was one time when I learned, the way I learned the meaning of a particular passage was, I memorized it. And after 6-7 times, I read, oh, this is what it means. And God spoke in that way. Memorize God's Word. If you don't know, just write it down somewhere. And every time you walk past it, you will always bring it to mind. Meditate on God's word. And may God always give us an ambassador, Christians who will zealously follow God for who He is. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time, and people are obviously, Lord, I'm not too sure what's going on in their mind, but You do. I'm praying, Father, that this particular passage in Psalm 63, Lord, we will remember that You are our Heavenly Father. That God, You are able to give this longing to us to want to be with You. That we'll praise and pray every time of our lives, every day. That we learn to meditate on Your word. That we find our satisfaction in Christ alone. That God, that we can be confident of the future because of who You are. And that God, we can know You personally. And Father, I pray for every Christian here who's perhaps maybe in the wilderness. I'm asking You to speak to that Christian. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. Is there anyone who say, Brother Johnny, I'm in the wilderness of Judah? I need to learn to seek God. Is there anyone like that? Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will give me a zeal to seek after Him, to develop that relationship with Him closer. Is there anyone like that? Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand too. Is there anyone else? Amen, I see those hands. Amen, I see even children's hands. Is there anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Is there anyone else? You know what? Even if you struggle against God, God will firmly love you without change. Because His love is perfect. It just doesn't change. Is there anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Let's pray. Father, hands have gone up all over. Lord, it is Your word, not mine. It is Your help, not mine. It is Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that will be able to make this truth real to these brethren. Lord, we are all brethren here, and I pray, God, that whoever they have put up their hands, the brothers and the sisters and some children, Lord, I pray that they will be able to draw close to You. Lord, in their Bible reading, that You will speak to them in a real way. When they pray, Lord, they will be able to see answers to that prayer and have the quiet assurance in their heart, Lord, that You answer prayer. Lord, thank You that You are such a good God. In Nahum 1 verse 7, Lord, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Lord, thank You that You are our fortress, a fortified city when we are in trouble. That God, we can still have peace when all around us is in trouble. I pray for every brethren that put up their hand. Lord, speak to that brethren in a special way as he read the Bible and pray. That God, You will use these words to encourage the brethren. For every sister that put up their hands, Lord, only You know what's going on in their hearts and their situation. Help them, Lord, to learn to be satisfied with You. For the children, I pray they will grow up, Lord, as they are being loved by their families and their children and by the local church. I pray they will grow up with a sense of learning and belonging to You. That they will grow up knowing this God in heaven loves them so much that they died. He died for their sins and that they need to give their lives to You. I pray You strengthen everyone, Lord, to seek after You. Lord, we thank You for what You're going to do. Bless everyone who has made a decision in their hearts and help them, Lord, to follow hard after You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.